last few weeks?
Well, one of the things I've been learning is how to turn on archiving, and I've just done that now, so I've missed the first couple of minutes. But what we're using is, I think, fairly old internet technology. It's internet radio, and it streams out from a server. So you actually listen to something live. And I was astonished at the number of internet radio stations there is. I'd been aware of it before and occasionally popped one open in iTunes to listen to some music or something. And a wee while ago it was kind of brought to my attention by reading a couple of things, one by Stephen Downes in Canada, who started one. He was influenced by this DS-106, which I blogged about once or twice, but it's in, I'm not going to get this university, it's American University of, I can't remember, but it's a guy, Jim Groom, who is an instructional technologist there, and the course is Digital Media, Digital Storytelling, DS-106, and it's been run as a sort of live course that anybody can join in. There were people all around the world joined in, and it's quite way out there as in lots of ways. In fact, what there is a series of activities that you can do, but you can also, if you're a student taking the course, you can propose another activity and put something up, another lesson, another exercise in manipulating digital media. And one of the things they do is radio DS-106, which seem to be a mixture of some educational discussion, but quite a lot of just music and playlists that people put together and organise. And this has caught the attention, say, of Stephen Downes, and he now has, I think, a 24-hour Ed Radio where he pushes out various bits of podcast. And one of the things I was interested in when I listened to him was the fact he said he was broadcasting to an audience of none most of the time. But it was still an interesting exercise. One of the reasons it was interesting, I think, is because of the way you maybe talk when you're talking to a live audience as opposed to doing something for a podcast. And you and I have obviously done a reasonable amount of podcasting, although most of mine's been with kids rather than adults. And this is just sort of a wee extension of it. And what I'm using is, what I've set up is an Icecast server on a service called Internet Radio at internet-radio.org.uk, and I'm using an application on my Mac called Nicecast, which broadcasts to this station, and it can do several things. It can just, you can just talk and people can hear you, or you can have it play stuff from iTunes or any other audio on your computer. And what I've got it set up at the moment is to broadcast my voice, but to mix in iTunes, if I'm turn on iTunes, and to mix in Skype. So hopefully that means what goes out is basically anything the playing on iTunes or my I hear on Skype goes out at the same time.
I think it has been a kind of great development since that. Although you're saying it was kind of old technology, I think that this idea started as being fairly abstract, and we weren't quite sure, you know, how much we could put through iTunes and therefore broadcast online. But I mean, we've said before that we're kind of looking at a core time around the kind of what would you say, archive broadcasts that we've got through people contributing to the EduTalk project. We've said before that possibly aim at every Wednesday, or it might end up being the occasional Thursday, possibly 8 till 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, I suppose, for the next 5 months or so. And I'm just wondering whether tonight it would be quite nice to see if somebody would try and call in to our dedicated EduTalker number. If anybody wants to just try out the technology with us to kind of finish this road test, or whether indeed anybody would like to call in and talk about something to do with education. I've spoken before, John, that... Oh, John, could you mute your microphone, sorry?
Oh, you're picking up my typing?
Yeah.
Right. I'll do that while you talk, because I'm just typing out a tweet.
Okay. Because what we've said before is that there's so many different ways that this particular part of the EduTalk project could go in the coming months and no doubt years with the commitment that we have to, the long-standing commitment that we have, John, to podcasting and webcasting. What I've been looking at, and some people will know, is that we've tried to set up a panel discussion, a very esteemed panel, around the McCormick and Donaldson reviews which have come out in the last 12 months to do with Scottish education. And that's something that'll be, we had technical problems which stopped that from happening, but we'll be going back to that again soon. And you know, that will probably, or part of that discussion will probably take place during one of these live slots. And a week on Wednesday, so 2 weeks yesterday, between 8 and 9 p.m., we've got Juliet Robertson, who's an outdoor education specialist, who's going to join us for the hour. And we're going to speak to Juliet in the next few days just to firm up the format of that live one-hour session. But Juliet will be joining us live, and we'll no doubt try to give Juliet a platform and have some questions for her about the work that's going on, the work that she's involved in, and what she's seeing happening throughout the worlds, I suppose, of the different types of outdoor education. And built into that hour, no doubt, will be time for listeners to get in touch by telephone if they want to come in the kind of phone-in style and join us and speak live on air and speak to Juliet with comments or questions. But also we'll be able to pull in comments through Twitter and via email. So maybe, John, just at this moment, we might as well mention 25 minutes into the broadcast how people can either join us or get in touch with the show, and this will be the same each week. So, John, I think you took a note of the EduTalker dial-in number, so if you maybe read that out in a minute. But we have, you can get in touch with the live show, and also any time outside of the hours of the live show by Twitter, and our Twitter name is @EduTalker. That's EduTalkr. And you can also email us, and it's EduTalker, EduTalkr, @hotmail.co.uk. Now, I'll deal with the technical side of things if somebody wants to. Hopefully somebody will phone in sometime before 9 o'clock tonight just to try this out. So, John, could you just relay the EduTalker phone-in number? For people's information, it's an Edinburgh number, so if you are calling in via Skype or from your mobile or your landline number, then it may fit in within your free call packages, if any other Edinburgh number does. Otherwise, the call that you place to EduTalker, if you want to phone in and broadcast your voice live, would be charged at the national rate, so a very low cost, if possibly no cost in some cases, opportunity to call in anything to do with education. And sometimes we'll have a focus, other times it'll be, you know, just a kind of open mic session, and of course you'll be broadcasting live, you'll be hopefully engaging a good discussion with ourselves, and the recordings are typically listened to by 50 to 100 people within the first week or within the week of broadcast. I'll let you come in there, John.
Okay, the phone number is 0131 208 1084, and I've just popped that out a couple of minutes ago on Twitter as well, so hopefully somebody will have seen that. Even if you haven't got an awful lot to say tonight, it would be nice if somebody that knows us gives us a quick ping, just so we can test out the system here.
And everybody will have listened to phone-ins on mainstream digital or analogue radio before, and some people like myself will be very well versed in the football phone-in, which was, I think, originated in Glasgow back in the 80s in Radio Clyde, and is now a worldwide phenomenon, and it really is just like that. We may structure a discussion one night. We may have people calling in, and in fact, we have our first caller. So let's see. One of somebody's been listening to the show, and we're going to try and pull them in. So if you're listening, if you can just give us your name as soon as we answer, and then we'll see if we can.
Hey, I think David's trying to bring in whoever it is now. I'm just seeing Held Remotely appear on Skype here, and waiting to hear what happens. Looks like we've lost a connection. I'm presuming. Here we go. I'm getting a call, and I'm just going to answer that and see if anybody's there. Hi, David. Looks like another call. Answer again. And it says here, call held remotely. And another call, wait a minute. And my connection's just disappeared again. And again, another answer. If anybody is listening, we're trying very hard to get this to work. Well, David's trying very hard. I'm actually just listening and picking up the phone every time it rings. I'll just type it now. Oh, I lost again. Sorry about the typing, folks. I'm just typing to David now in the...
Hi, John.
Hi, David.
Yes. Now, what was your experience of that?
I answered the phone about six times, I think. Or answer Skype about six times, and every time I did it came up with call held remotely.
Right, okay, wow, that's interesting.
But the noise that the calls and things and our conversation now did get broadcast, so I'm obviously broadcasting everything from Skype, including the ring and stuff like that.
Right, okay. Right, so what we're going to do is, that was Stephen from A Higher Place who was just in touch there.
He's on a train, isn't he?
Yes.
Brilliant.
So we're going to try and add Stephen into the call, and this is definitely going to work. Here we go. Right, so we're going to add to call. And we're going to dial out to Stephen. Here we go, that should work.
Oh. I'm now seeing a connecting to Stephen's number.
There we go.
Hello.
Hi, Stephen. It's David Noble here at EduTalker. And I think we've managed to work out how to not pull in successfully when you dialed in, and I'll need to work on that. But okay. Just anybody listening, I've just what I've done is just taken a note of your number, just added you as a Skype contact, and then just dialed out to you. Good thing for yourself, Steve, because it's not costing you anything. Yeah, that's great. I'm just gonna ask you how you're doing and what you've been up to, Stephen. And just while I'm doing that, John and I will mute our microphones so that there shouldn't be any background noise for you.
Okay. super. What do you want me to tell you now? I'm going to get a question. That's like a radio prompt.
Yeah, maybe if you just introduce yourself and then let us know what you've been up to recently.
Sure. Right, okay. I'm Stephen from A Higher Place, formerly from Dewey, and I'm currently sitting down in Ashington. I've just spent the day training teachers down in South Shields about using Google Earth podcasting and ICT Web 2 technologies in the classroom. And tomorrow, I am going to do the same in Ashington High School. And I caught the radio station last week with John, and then I was worried, actually. It's probably worth saying to the listeners, I was worried that I wasn't going to hear it this week because I was sitting in a hotel with no wireless, but I'm actually doing all of this on my iPhone with 3G, and I'm also able to tweet into the show at the same time. So if anybody's worried about not being able to pick up on the show due to mobility, it's actually really easily accessible through a smartphone.
Hi, Stephen. No, what you didn't. I was just on mute, being a beginner at this, thinking and talking and clicking buttons at the same time.
I thought I'd put everyone to sleep.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I don't. I'm just kind of quite pleased that this is working. You're our first guinea pig. Basically,
it's great.
David and I tried a wee shot at this a couple of weeks ago.
I was listening. I was just thinking it's a really, really good idea, though, guys. Honestly, I really do think it's a good idea, and I'm glad I caught it. I actually just caught a tweet last week and thought, oh, I'll tune into that, and I really do think it's a great idea. And I, for one, would certainly make sure that I was able to tune in as many weeks as possible. I think communication like this, I mean, we're all getting very, very used to things like Twitter and email and, well, obviously email, but Twitter, social networking and stuff. But certainly in the circle that I move in, the circle that we move in as educators, but I think a radio platform like this is really, really good. So I really hope it works.
Well,
it's David Noble here. I'll just come in quickly. I've just got a question for you. I mean, you mentioned there a little bit about your history in education and working with teachers around education technologies. What kind of experiences have you had of working with young people and teachers around podcasting, that stand out for you over the years? And kind of following on from that, how might you see EduTalker being used by some people?
Well, that's actually, it's interesting because I actually found myself saying to teachers today, when I went to schools and I teach the basics of podcasting, we use Audacity to do that, and we just show them the basic principles of podcasting. You know, you record what you want to say and you get it right first time, or alternatively, you have to edit a couple of different types of mistakes that might be made or errors that might come up. Teachers quite often say to me, you know, the majority of teachers haven't done any sort of audio recording. And when I ask them why, the two most common answers are it's difficult and it's time consuming. And I put a particular emphasis in my training on the fact that it is neither of those things. It isn't difficult and it isn't time consuming. It's also not expensive, but that tends not to come up either. That tends not to come up in, to be honest, but difficult and time-consuming are the two things that come up, and I try to say to teachers, it isn't. And once I show them, and it takes me about 15 minutes to show them the very basic principles of podcasting, get a microphone in their hand and give them a shot. And once I show them, they love it. It's a key tool. They really do think it's a key tool to all kinds of things in the classroom, supporting literacy, getting kids to feel more confident about expressing themselves, presentation skills. There's so much that you can do with podcasting. And they realise that after their first training exercise with me. And I think one of the key things for teachers to remember when it comes to this is that it's a very pliable tool. And what I've discovered in my, going into your second point about where things can fit in, is that it's a very, very pliable tool. I mean, once you've created essentially an MP3 file, regardless of how you do that, once you've created an MP3 file, there's so much you can do with it. You can upload it to your virtual learning platforms, namely Glow, obviously, in Scotland. You can email it out, because MP3s tend to be quite small, certainly smaller than WAVs. You can put it on MP3 or MP4 players and other mobile technologies. Get it on your kids' mobile phones, in particular smartphones. You can put it at the back of something like animation software or movie software such as Windows Movie Maker, and there's so much you can be doing with podcasts in terms of just their ability to, you know, just their function as an audio recording. And then, of course, you've then got what's essentially really quite an easy process of syndicating what you do to a library, an electronic library, a digital library, that then puts what you do in front of, well, any number of people, really. You could be putting it in front of a school. Let's start small, to put it in front of your class. You can be syndicating it to an audience of a school, and you can, the world globally is ultimately the limit. And I think that's what people tend to realise once they've got the ability, once they've got the knowledge for podcasting in their hands, they just love it. What I also noticed, just going back to my experience with kids, is that kids just do this, and I think we all know this in terms of sort of a young person's grasp of technology, but kids just get it. They just pick up a microphone and they just do it, and I think that's something that teachers are quite interested in, is the fact that while they're sitting back, I mean, I quite often get the complaint that you know, teachers will say, I don't podcast because I don't like the sound of my own voice, and kids just don't seem to care. They just pick up a microphone and do it, and I love that, and I love working with kids in podcasting.
Stephen, that's great. I don't know how you are for time. If you want to hang around for a couple of minutes or so.
I'm fine.
That's great. What I'm going to do just now, John and Stephen, is I'm just going to ask you to mute your microphones, and I'm going to see if we could. I think this will work. I'm just going to try and pull in EdTech and Modern Foreign Languages or Modern Languages specialist Joe Dale into the conversation. So, Stephen and John, if you could just mute your microphone for a moment, that would be great. And Joe will hopefully join us in a wee second. And for everybody, including those listening to the live stream, what you'll probably hear is just a little bit of dead air for a moment, and then you should hear the a ringing tone as we contact Joe Dale, who I would imagine will be in his home area of the Isle of Wight. If you just give me 30 seconds or so, dial out to Joe and you should be able to hear him. Sorry, John, what were you going to say?
I can say I can talk over that, because if I mute my mic, they'll still hear my mic. So I'll mute my mic so you won't hear me, but the rest of the world, if they're listening, is. I was kind of really interested in what Stephen said there. That is one of the things I've tried to do recently is interest
people. Hi, David.
Hi,
John.
Podcasting.
Hi, Joe. Great to hear you. You're sounding very, very crisp. How are you? How are you today?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm using my Samsung CA3 USB microphone, so hopefully my audio sounds okay. Yeah, not too bad. I'm working from home at the moment and doing lots of stuff. I'm going to Australia in April, and I'm trying to see if I can get some other training opportunities in other parts of Australia while I'm there. I'm speaking at a conference in Perth, and I'm seeing whether it's possible to do some training in other parts, for example, Brisbane, Melbourne and Sydney. So I've been using contacts via social media with people I've known for years online, and hopefully I'll get the opportunity to meet them face to face.
Joe, I'm just wondering if you could maybe just say a little bit about your background. I mean, as you'll be aware, that we're actually broadcasting live and on Radio EduTalk, and I don't know if John's checking the statistics, but we might have a couple of listeners. I'm absolutely convinced that everybody will have heard of the famous and wonderful Joe Dale, but maybe just say a bit about you, about the work that you do, and then maybe after that, just following on from Stephen's excellent contribution, we were just looking at, you know, how teacher trainers and teachers and other educators have been using podcasting in recent years, if there's any examples that stand out for you. And then we're just thinking about how this kind of live webcasting among people involved in education, you know, through, for example, EduTalk, how that might grow and how people might use this free resource that we're creating using free tools and what kind of directions that might go. But certainly be interesting hearing your background first and then a bit about how you've used podcasting in the past.
Okay, yeah, you'd be more than welcome, that's fine. Well, basically, I'm now an independent consultant, which I've been doing for a couple of years now. I left the classroom in 2009. I was a French teacher for, 13 years, 10 of which I was on the Isle of Wight for, which is where I still live, which is a lovely place. And, basically, I started podcasting in 2006. I was very much inspired by people like John and other people who were getting into podcasting at the time, and yourself, David. I remember listening to the Burak podcast back in sort of 2006 and being absolutely inspired by what you were doing. So from there, I just couldn't get enough about educational podcasting. So I was reading the TES. I was searching online for other people that were doing the same sorts of things. Like Downs FM down in Kent, for example, and the work of Ewan McIntosh, who I know I heard about your podcast through a post that he wrote about a visit that he made to your school. Presumably that would have been about 2006, about drugs awareness, and that's how I got into the whole Burak podcast and downloading lots and lots and lots. All in one go and listening to them, remembering that I've said this to you before, but listening to the fire alarm going off on one of your early recordings and finding that very amusing. The fact that it's very different from radio in the sense that it's if things like that happen, whatever, it doesn't matter, and there's so much more freedom. And then obviously the educational side of podcasting, the whole recording and editing process. I was doing podcasts with my students in relation to improving their French, and I found that the whole recording and editing process improved their pronunciation, boosted their confidence, extended their speaking skills, getting them to write scripts beforehand, was great for sort of collaborative learning, getting them to access higher order thinking skills, all those sorts of things which are fantastic. And the way that they appeal to all four skills, listening, speaking, reading and writing, it's just brilliant. And then, the icing on the cake, publishing the podcast onto the internet and allowing people to download them. I mean, I don't know how many, I've got no idea of the figures of the number of people that downloaded them, but from a learning point of view, the actual creation process was really, really, really fantastic. And then, the whole adding in music and making it sort of bigger than the sum of its parts. Something which I became, really passionate about. And ever since, I've been promoting podcasting wherever I've been, And as you know, I've done many, many podcast interviews with mostly from educators from around the UK, but also further afield. And using Skype, and for many years, I used to use a piece of software called Pretty May. And then just recently, I've been using Pamela, which I find is a bit more stable, to be honest. And then the whole recording process, and then being able to edit that in Audacity, being able to record each speaker as a separate channel, I found incredibly useful, and then being able to mix them together. I went to an event with yourself in 2007, PodCamp UK, which wasn't just for teachers at all. I think there were about six or seven teachers there, amongst about 30 or 40 people that took part, and that was a really interesting event to do with podcasting. And that was where I met Andy White, who is a consultant into social media. He hasn't got a teaching background at all, and he was the one that showed me how to mix two tracks together that were hard right and hard left. In other words, one person's voice in one ear and one person's voice in another ear, and he showed me how to mix those together. Because the early podcasts I did, for example, one with Adam Sutcliffe from Aberdeenshire, I find it quite embarrassing to listen back to it now, because his voice is in one ear and my voice is in the other ear. And it was Mark Pentaton, who was also a huge inspiration to begin with, and still is, in fact. He was the one that said, he pointed this out to me. But to be honest, I was just so pleased. I was actually able to record Skype calls at the time. But having Andy showing me how to mix the two tracks together made a big difference. And I don't know how many interviews I've done now. It must be, I would have thought about 20, something like that. And I'm still doing them. They take quite a lot of time to prepare for, but I think they're well worth doing that. It's just fantastic to talk to people who you know are doing interesting, innovative things in the classroom. And once you know they get onto their pet subject, as it were, they always talk passionately about it, and that's really, really brilliant. So I hope that gives you like a synopsis of the sorts of things I've been into and where I am with podcasting now.
That's fantastic, Joe. Thanks very much for that. I'm sure everybody will be listening intently to this in the live stream, and it'll be really interesting for those who catch up in the recording. John, what I'm going to do, I don't know if you want to ask Joe anything. Meantime, but just before you come in there, we've got about 12 minutes or so left this evening, and I'm just going to repeat again about how people can get in touch. I think we've had one person. Well, we obviously heard from Stephen Reid of A Higher Place earlier on, his great contribution about how he has used podcasting and training with teachers. But we also seem to have somebody else dialing in as well, who we never managed to bring into the conversation. So for that person's benefit and everybody else, John, have you got the number there?
It's Aaron, Andy. Yep, if you want to join in here, you can phone 0131 208 1084 and join in Radio Edutalk. We'll pop that out on Twitter every now and again. And now we've sorted this out, we'll be trying to get some sort of standard thing up on the Edutalk website.
Yep, and it would be worth mentioning the other ways of getting in touch. So you can email the show at edutalker, that's edutalkr@hotmail.co.uk. Or you can send a message on Twitter to @edutalker, edutalkr. And, of course, that can be done during the live broadcast, and your comment or question will be read out to whoever's on the panel or whoever our guest is, or whether it's just a free-for-all kind of open mic like tonight. Or you can leave messages in those two ways at any time during the week, and they'll be picked up either if they're relevant to the show or not. And also, I believe I'll need to check this out for next week, but I think you would be, and Joe might help us out here, you might be able to leave a voicemail by dialing the, what was that again, John? It's 01312081084. So I'll need to check whether, if you do that out with the show times, whether a message is left for John and I to pick up, or whether indeed to get voicemail on Skype, you have to buy extra, an extra service. So I'll need to check that up. I don't know about yourself, Joe. I think you're somebody who keeps up to date with the latest versions of Skype.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the recent versions of Skype, one of the recent features that they've brought in with Skype, which I find brilliant, is the fact that you can share the screen now with the person you're speaking to. So I find that, for example, when I talk to my dad, about various things to do with various toolbars or whatever he's lost, or that he can't find this or he can't find that, I just say, just show me your screen, Dad, and I'll and then I say, oh, just click here, click there, right click here, and that's really, really useful. And I can see that being an incredibly useful tool for one-to-one mentoring, being able to share the screen. I also think that, considering what the audio quality was like when I started podcasting back in about 2006, that Skype have made leaps and bounds, towards making the tool better. And I think the audio quality now, if you've got yourself a good USB microphone, is really, really fantastic. And the fact you can have Skype credit as well, so you can basically ring any landline you want and record the call and podcast it, is just absolutely brilliant. Just talking about Skype, I don't know if you know this, Dave, if you've seen online, but I've actually been asked by Microsoft to present about Skype in the classroom at the Bet Show on their stand. And I think yesterday I sent out a tweet saying, if anyone's got some really interesting examples of the use of Skype in their classroom, if they could send me a tweet at Joe Dale, that would be really, really useful. It's only going to be 20 minutes, two times a day for all 4 days of the Bet Show. But if listeners listening now live or in the recording, they could send me a tweet with a link to a great example of their use of Skype, and it could be right across the curriculum. It doesn't have to be to do with language learning. Then I would really, really appreciate that, primary or secondary. That would be great.
Well, hopefully you'll get something there, Joe. I see
Steve. How are we looking at the technical side of things?
Sorry?
How are we looking?
It's fine. I think Stephen's lost the feed, but I'm hearing from other people they're listening, and I can hear I've got my iPhone tuned in as well, so I think we're going out. I suspect it's just Stephen is wherever.
Well, John, I think we're multitasking big time.
Sitting here.
There's so much going on in the desktop, but it's always great to hear from somebody like Joe, so I'm certainly listening to everything he was saying. Yeah.
I've got a wee question.
Stephen's actually just been in touch, John, sorry, just to say that the live stream is absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And just a little joke here that Joe might actually get, because I know he's a huge football fan. It's Man United, Joe, isn't it?
It is indeed. Yeah, I know you're a Pars fan yourself. That's how I worked out the meaning of your username on Twitter, which took me years to work out. But because obviously it's Pars Lad, so Pars are your team, aren't they?
Absolutely. And we've just received a message from Ian Hallahan, who's a teacher in a school for pupils with additional support needs in Glasgow, and he's just been asking. I'm going to read this out and see if Joe can decipher this. I think he'll do quite well. But I will give you a clue in a moment. His message says, is it true that the two of you, this is John and myself, are taking over from Ruffy and DJ on the Real Radio Football phone-in? And by Ruffy, Joe, he means Alan Ruff, and DJ's Derek Johnston, who I believe scored the winner or one of the goals in Rangers' European Cup Winners' Cup final triumph back in the early 70s. So... they now present on probably the most famous football phone in Scottish radio and Scottish football. So that's the rumour that Ian's starting, that shortly John and I will be taking over from Ruffy and DJ. But they're two very funny guys, and I certainly can't live up to them.
I'm sure you can fill their boots.
Given my depth of football knowledge, I don't think that's real gore.
And what were you going to ask, Joe?
Well, I was going to ask both Stephen and Joe. I was quite interested in this. I mean, Stephen was talking about, you know, teachers getting podcasting, and one of the things that I've been doing recently or over the last few years is training people in using podcasting. And I must say, if I'm using podcasting in its purest sense, and I think a podcast as, you know, a series of audio files linked by an RSS feed, I've had not an awful lot of success getting people joining in with audio podcasting. I've had more folk actually taking up video podcasting, which I never understood, because it just seems, I mean, for all the reasons that Stephen and Joe mentioned, that the podcasting is just a brilliant thing to take into your classroom. And I wondered if Joe, how your sort of success rate in starting podcasts that get to the published with a feed is compared to my experience.
Well, to be honest, John, I have similar experiences. I think that the whole, even though RSS is, you know, essentially simple, you know, simple syndication, that's the whole idea about it. You know, it's still, there's still a big leap, I think, to make at the moment for people getting into podcasting about understanding how RSS works and getting people to use Google Reader. I mean, more and more people definitely use Google Reader to subscribe to blogs, but I don't know how many people regularly subscribe to podcasts. What I've found since such tools as Audio Boo and iPadio, the way that teachers can capture audio so easily, not necessarily being able to edit it, but be able to capture it and publish it. Also tools like Posterous, which, you know, as you know, allow you to send email to send audio files as attachments, MP3 files as attachments. So in other words, the process of publishing has become easier. You don't have to use a site like Podomatic, which is what I used to use all the time, as a way of publishing the podcast. The actual process of essentially publishing multimedia, in this case audio, is so much simpler now with smartphones and the rest of it. I think that even though officially, obviously, a podcast is a series of recordings which are subscribable via an RSS feed, I think that maybe most teachers, what they want is they want something which is quick and easy and allows them to publish something straight away. And I think that's why using smartphones, using services like iPadio and Audio Boo, and prior to that, Gabcast, free services that allow you to publish a certain amount of content in a free space. And likewise with Posterous and with the Posterous app, which I know, John, you're a big fan of. I think that that's, in a way, that's more interesting to most teachers,
yeah,
rather than learning the whole idea about subscribing in Google Reader, even though there are lots of people who love Google Reader and, you know, and are happy to subscribe to blogs and podcasts and what have you. I think most teachers that I do that I show them how to how to podcast, what they want to concentrate on is the actual ease of publishing.
Sorry, Joe, I didn't obviously explain myself properly there. I would include using, you know, Posterous or Audioboo or anything like that regularly as a podcast, but my question was really the difference between, say, I've managed to get quite a few folk video podcasting, but the audio podcasting on a regular basis hasn't really taken off, which really surprises me, because once you cut out video editing is a real skill. I know audio editing is obviously can be done very skillfully as well, but it's a much easier, I thought, entry into using media, and possibly is, well, in my opinion, has slightly more educational value, because you can concentrate more on what you're actually learning rather than the complexities of good video editing. But I haven't managed to get as many people taking up audio as video.
Yeah, I mean, I think that with podcasting, so certainly languages, it's an obvious thing that the audio side of things, the listening, the speaking side of things, rather than complicating that with video, whereby, I mean, with audio editing, you can almost, you know, perform magic, as it were, in cutting things out and removing things. Whereas if you try and do that with video, it won't work, because obviously it's going to, you know, be stuttering and the rest of it, and jumping from frame to frame, and it just won't look right. Whereas with audio editing, there's no problem. With the whole sort of creation process, I found that has been successful with language teachers, which is obviously, you know, the main area that I'm working, the main group of people that I'm working with. But in relation to audio compared to video, I mean, I know that with iTunes U, I went to a meeting about the Steeple project, which is universities from around the country interested in having their content on iTunes U, getting together and working together and trying to, you know, find the best solutions. That apparently the majority of the content which is downloaded from iTunes U is actually audio content rather than video content, which I found surprising. And that's probably to do with the fact that people can do other things while they're listening. Whereas with video, obviously you have to concentrate on that video. Whereas with audio, you can, you know, go for a walk, do some marking, go on the bus, whatever, do other things. And I think that's, I totally agree with you, John. You know, I'm just as much an audiophile as yourself. But I think maybe the context, that's what makes a difference. And certainly from the point of view of pupils, in my experience and other teachers that I know, they've said that actually the pupils don't want to appear on video. That, you know, they're more than happy to have a go at audio, but they don't want to appear on video, let alone be published on the internet in video. They're quite happy to do that themselves in their own time on YouTube and the rest of it. But to do that as part of something in school, they're very nervous, I think. And there's the whole, you know, idea of permissions and the rest of it with video. Whereas obviously you have to have permission with audio if you're going to publish it as well. But there's not as much stigma behind audio publishing compared to video.
All right. I'm just actually getting a tweet in from
John. Have you picked up? I know there's a couple of messages on.
Yeah,
I'll let you read them out if you want. I think we've had messages from Ian Stewart and Isla, and also from another couple of comments from Ian Hallahan in Glasgow.
Right, I'm looking at a different one. I'm looking at one from Stephen actually, who's just saying that it's probably almost the opposite of what maybe Joe and I feel, which is YouTube and viral video is a factor in people's perception of podcasting and media mythology. And I think that's probably very important. I mean, even on the news tonight, there was the dog chasing deer video, which had gone viral and got millions of views. And certainly, I suppose, it's a lot easier to attract attention to a video than audio stuff. But so, you know, Hans agreeing with Joe and saying that, you know, sharing audio on the web is less management issues. I didn't catch Ian Stewart's comments, and maybe we want to do that, David, and then I think we're probably getting to rounding up time.
Yeah, it was Ian Stewart, who is works in, is a teacher in Islay High School, isn't it, on the lovely island, just sent a tweet in there to say that he completely agrees with Ian Hallahan, just about how easy it is now just to use any kind of telephonic device to create podcasts, and kind of mentions or agrees with Ian's mention about the ease with which you can use any kind of device with, for example, Posterous and Audio Brew services, which I think, guys, both remain free. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, David, do you want me to maybe mention a couple of podcasting tips that I've learnt over the years? Would that be useful to finish off with?
I think that would be great, Joe. We started at 8 o'clock tonight with a few technical glitches, and then we managed to go live about 8:15. And as will happen in many weeks, we'll just throw it open. And I suppose it's almost inevitable that in the kind of version 0.5 of Edgy Talker, if you say that this is kind of the last trial event. That we would end up talking about webcasting and podcasting, and I think some fantastic contributions from everybody tonight. And I think when this is John talks about guerrilla podcasting, and I'm sure he's not going to spend hours editing the audio tonight before it goes up in the archive. So, but it certainly hasn't been too messy, and I think everybody's contributions have been lengthy and deep and very interesting. So it might be quite nice as we come towards the end, Joe, just for a few of your podcasting tips, because you have all that expertise, and maybe as we're alluding to, there's not that many people out there who, other than if you go in the kind of internet wires, are able to hold people's hands metaphorically as they get into the likes of the educational uses and benefits of podcasting. So be really grateful for that, Joe, if you want to go ahead.
Yeah, no problem at all. I mean, the first thing I could mention, there was an article I wrote for Teachers TV, which is still available. I know Teachers TV doesn't exist anymore, but the article is still available online. I can send you the link if you'd like. We'll include that within the show notes. But if you just do a search for podcasting in the classroom, Joe Dale, I'm sure it will come up. And basically, that's got, you know, some of my top tips for podcasting that I've learnt over the years. But some of those include, for example, using a USB microphone. If you're doing like a one-to-one podcast, in other words, if you're, as the teacher, you're creating your podcast, you're going to get much better audio quality compared to, say, using a standard 3.5mm jack with your microphone and your sound card, unless you've got a Mac, of course, in which case I'm sure John's thinking this while I'm speaking, actually. If you've got a Mac, then, you know, you'll be absolutely fine, because the sound card is normally fantastic. But with a standard PC, you'd be much better off getting a USB microphone, for example, a Logitech USB microphone, about £15-20. I've been using mine since 2006, and it's been fantastic. The next tip is to always write a script. Don't just stick the microphone or the smartphone underneath a pupil's nose. Always get the pupils to write a script, either individually or in pairs, or in small groups, so they're collaboratively learning with each other and giving each other peer assessment. And there's a brilliant tool which I've come across called Q Prompter, as in snooker cue, Q Prompter. So qprompter.com, and what you can do is you can write your script in say Word, Microsoft Word, or what have you, on the Mac, and then publish it. Then paste it into QPrompter, press the Start Prompter button, and then what that will do is it will convert your browser into what looks like a professional looking teleprompter. So in other words, you can choose the speed at which the text scrolls down the page, which is really useful from the point of readability, because there are 9 different speeds, so the students can choose the speed at which the text scrolls down. And also, if you have, if you've written your script on a piece of paper or in a jotter in an exercise book or what have you, you're not going to get any sort of handling sounds from that while the pupils are reading from the script. So hopefully that should boost the fluency of the podcast. And that's always very important, because what you don't want is something which sounds very stilted. You want it to sound natural when the pupils are reading their script. And the final tip is to use a tool called Levelator, or the Levelator, which is completely free, is available for a PC, Mac and Linux. And what it does is it balances the audio levels of your recording. So if you've got one person speaking louder at the beginning and then quieter when they say get halfway through their recording, or particularly when you've got multiple speakers, if you make a recording on a digital voice recorder, and I've done this many times myself, if say you've got four people in a group, and there's bound to be one pupil or student who is speaking quieter than the other pupils, what will happen is it will raise the volume of that person to the same level, on an appropriate level, compared to the other people in the group. And all you do is, once you've installed it, you launch it, you get this rectangle in the middle of the screen, black rectangle. Let's say you're recording in Audacity, or you're recording from a digital voice recorder, you have to produce a WAV file, which is easy in Audacity. You just go, you know, file, export, and choose WAV. You then take that WAV file and you drop it onto the Levelator. That then produces another file with the same file name, apart from the word output at the end. And then you import that back into Audacity, and you'll see with the waveforms that they are more balanced compared to the original version. And then you just delete the original version, and then do your editing. That's normally the workflow that I have, the podcasting workflow. So I will make my recording, I will Levelate it, and then I'll do my editing once I've done that, and then convert it into MP3. And the most important thing is to choose a topic that you're passionate about, or your students are passionate about, and that will really help you with your educational podcasting adventures. So hopefully you found that useful.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, that was great. I know that on your site, there's plenty other audio tips and advice for mics, etc. As a sort of essential UK podcasters resource. I think that we're just going to wrap it up now. It's now about 9:10. This has been the first of hopefully many phone-in episodes of EduTalk, or Radio EduTalk. It's going out live on the web. You can listen on a phone, you can listen via QuickTime, iTunes, Flash on the web, any other Winamp, any other way you can get an internet radio stream. And you can also listen to it later on edutalk.cc, where it would popped out as a rather longer than usual piece of audio. So thanks very much to Joe Dale and Stephen Reed, who was here earlier, who've been talking mostly about podcasting. And we hope to be back probably next Wednesday, all things the same.
I'd also like to thank Joe. Usual thing, asking if he can speak to us for 5 minutes, and it ends up a lot longer. I spoke to Joe about podcasting recently, and he mentioned some of the tools and practices that he's spoken at length about there, and I'd certainly back up every one of them. That's certainly the best short guide to getting started with podcasting that's out there. Joe, I'm just conscious, I don't think your blog site was actually mentioned in this segment of the show. I don't know if you want to just let us know what the URL is, and in case anybody listening to the recording would like to find out more about the work that you do and the tips and tools and practices that you speak about.
Yeah, it'll be absolutely my pleasure. I mean, if you just go to Google and do a search for Joe Dale, it will be the first link, which is nice. It has been, that's been the case for quite a few years now. It's actually called Integrating ICT into the MFL Classroom, or it would be ML Classroom in Scotland, wouldn't it? But the actual address is www.joedale.typepad.com. And just to finish off with as well, another little tip, there's a set of video tutorials that I've created which are available for free to do with Audacity, which is a great starting point, I think, which if you do a search for CILT, that's CILT, 14 to 19 training zone, Audacity, then you'll get the link to the tutorials. And I've done 9 tutorials going through every single step that you would need to create your podcast.